Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, Ewan Spence here once more for your All About Windows Phone Insight podcast, bringing you the last 7 days worth of highs and lows and everything in between in the world of Microsoft's Windows phones, with its friends Samsung, HTC and Nokia along to help the ride. I've got some of my friends too, and hopefully now they were at Insight number 12, been going for a couple of months, they're your friends as well. First of all, Rafe Blanford joins us. Welcome, Rafe.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to this Insight podcast.
Oh, that's good. We also have David Gilson joining us.
Hello, everybody, and I'm looking forward to talking through all of the number crunching that we have to do this week.
And we also have a get well soon card to pass around the team here. Steve's throat is sadly under the weather. The rest of him is okay, but unless you felt like listening to Davros for the entire 30 minutes of this Insight, we decided to skip that. So Steve will be back next week. You can pass is your well-wishing thoughts onto him on at Steve Whitfield over on Twitter. But for now, it is on with the news. Later on, we'll have our look at the applications we've been using throughout this week. We'll be talking about a brand new phone coming to the UK that's been popping up in France and CES as well. But first, the news. And really, I think, Rafe, we have to start with Nokia's quarterly results. They just came out as we started to record the podcast. Of course, Nokia have made the jump to Windows Phone. They had a rather roller coaster year last year with lots of people second-guessing the decisions made by management. But does this mean Nokia are through and pulling out of the curve? Is it still a death spiral going down and they should have went with a Linux handset? Rafe, where do these results place Nokia in the world of Windows Phone and in the smartphone world as a whole?
Yeah, well, of course, these results are a big deal. Nokia is really now the big manufacturer in Windows Phone in many ways. That's not just because it's the biggest of the mobile manufacturers by some distance. It's really because it's dedicated to Windows Phone in a way that HTC, Samsung, LG and the others just aren't at the moment. That may change in the future, but it certainly doesn't look like it. And so there's been an enormous amount of attention on these numbers because it's going to be the first sign of what Nokia is doing with Windows Phone. But perhaps not surprisingly, it really doesn't tell us very much yet. I mean, it's still very much a wait and see early days. I mean, some of the headline numbers that came out as far as Windows Phone are concerned is 1 million Lumia is shipped to date. That's actually to January the 26th, so that's not even numbers for Q4, which are presumably a bit less than that. But of course, that's the ramp-up period. It started shipping middle of November, so we're not talking about a long period of time here. And I think sort of the 1 million number is about what people were probably expecting. It's in line with a lot of analyst expectations, in line with what I expected. I think people will watch Q1 and Q2 of this coming year with a lot of attention, but the real numbers that really are going to answer the question you've just asked is really going to have to wait until the second half of this year, even into 2013, if we're honest. Nonetheless, this does bring an enormous amount of attention onto the company. In terms of the headline numbers, you know, Nokia's facing results where Apple's just declared 37 million iPhones sold in Q4. That's a lot of that's off the back, of course, of the iPhone 4S launch. Similarly, Samsung's done 35 million. That's mainly Android, a couple of million BARDA as well, and very few Windows Phone devices, maybe around 500,000. You know, it's difficult to estimate there. So Nokia, in that sense, is sort of facing really fierce competition and absolutely been blown away by Apple and Samsung. On the other hand, that's not entirely unexpected, given recent history, and that's not really a reflection on the Windows Phone switch, that's just a reflection on the rise of Android and the cyclical nature of iPhones. Interestingly, if you compare it to something like HTC or RIM, this sort of upward increase in numbers, because they've gone from about 16.8 up to about 9.6 million in terms of smartphone shipments, is actually looking pretty good, and their underlying mobile phones is looking even more impressive. That's because the mobile phones are still important. You know, people tend to forget about this. We all focus on smartphones. They've just announced 1.5 billion Series 40 devices, and they're still putting out a lot of mobile phone devices. That's Series 40, Series 30, and a few other bits and pieces. Just remember, those are people that potentially might look at Windows Phone as their smartphone choice in a few years' time, brand loyalty and all of that. So that's another reason why Nokia has, you know, such weight in the industry. But at the same time, I titled, you know, this story In the Heart of the Transition, and that's really where we are now. So it's very difficult to talk with any exact analysis about what's going to happen next. What does this tell? Well, it basically tells us they're on track with the plan they talked about. You know, they launched the devices ahead of time. They've started rolling them out successfully into the country. They seem to be very well received by operators, by reviewers. But, you know, we've actually seen all of that ourselves in what's been written in the media, what operators have been saying in public. And the 1 million number is, yes, you know, it is what it is. So in one sense, too early to answer that question. But I think for the Windows Phone ecosystem as a whole, it's kind of good news because Nokia's had as successful launch as might be expected. And now the question is, you know, what comes next?
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of people doing what-if scenarios. The obvious one is going to be, you know, Nokia had a number of choices they could have went with their operating system. They chose with Windows Phone, and as a All About Windows Phone, we're quite happy about that. But with their All About Symbian hat on, of course, Nokia still have a much larger smartphone portfolio in sales in terms of Symbian, right? We had numbers for that as well, didn't we? Something like 17 or 18 million?
Yeah, I mean, again, they haven't broken these down, but you can so estimate at about 18 to 18 and a half million. There's also the Nokia N9, which is their Migo half Matin product in there as well. The interesting thing they've said about Symbian is that they're actually facing significant pressure, and they anticipate that there'll be fewer sales than they originally thought in 2012. That comes as a result really of an acceleration in the trend of low price smartphones. Really, that's a lot about Android, to be honest. But they picked up a couple of examples. One was operators in China really pushing 3G devices. And to get the volumes, they were going to lower cost devices. And Symbian wasn't always well positioned there. There's actually a technical reason for that, and that Symbian doesn't support CDMA devices. And its CDMA devices, which are the Chinese 3G ones, are at the upper end of the portfolio. So they've kind of missed a trend there, if you like. Having said that, actually applies to pretty much all the traditional manufacturers. Samsung have done pretty well with the cheaper Android devices. There's some questions around the sustainability, but actually one of the big stories recently has been the growth of other smartphone manufacturers, you know, outside the big names. And a lot of those are, you know, native to China or India, or, you know, companies like Huawei and ZTE, which I guess we'll talk about later in the podcast on another topic. And so, you know, there was, I guess, some the bad news, but not really unexpected for Symbian. But what that means for Windows Phone is I think there's probably more pressure on Nokia to deliver their Windows Phone devices and get them rolled out, get this ramp up done as quickly as possible, because Symbian may not hang in there in sales terms quite as long as expected. They did quite rightly say that, you know, Symbian is going to continue to be an important part, you know. You only need to look at the curve and see, relatively speaking, in 2012, it's pretty likely that they'll be equally important, if not Symbian will remain more important, just because, you know, it's the kind of the incumbent, if you like, and there's going to be updates to the software, there's going to be new devices to come. So plenty of activity still there. But the interesting theme I'll draw out of that is that the transition is getting harder for Nokia, not easier, in that the time is being compressed. And so in the sense that they've managed to launch early is doing themselves a big favour. And, you know, the headline number on Nokia and its results was a loss of 954 million euros, which sounds absolutely awful in one sense, until you realise that's almost entirely due to a write-down in goodwill from a location service division of actually just over a billion euros. That actually dates back to the Navtec acquisition. The way accounting works, of course, is that you buy an asset and then you get a certain amount of assets with it. And so for Navtec, I think it was bought for about $8 million, something like that, and probably had about $1 million or so in assets, and then 5 or 6 million in goodwill. But that goodwill is now assessed to be worth less, and obviously that has to go onto the book somehow, hence the write-down. So actually, in some ways, the more interesting figures to look at are the non-IFRS operating profit, and that kind of excludes these kind of one-off charges. And for Nokia, in this case, it was 478 million euros. Significant thing there, it was down 56% year-on-year, not unexpected given the transition, but it was up 90% quarter-on-quarter. You'd expect a big bump in Q4 because of the higher sales, but not necessarily that much. So I would suggest, if you look at all the figures and kind of look at the core figures rather than, you know, one-off expenditures and things like that, actually it does seem that Nokia's, you know, pulling out of the trough. The question now is, you know, at what sort of angle is it going to be coming out? And that's the answer we'll get going into the second half of 2012 and into 2013.
So that's Nokia, of course. So we'll have a look at HTC and Samsung in the same clinical and forensic detail, Rafe?
Well, we can't do them in so much detail. I mean, they've already announced their results. I mentioned Samsung briefly there. They didn't break out anything specific for Windows Phone. HTC is worth touching on. They've actually seen a decline in their smartphone shipments, you know, from about 12 million to around 10 million, and predicting, again, a hard Q1. I think they face very fierce competition from Samsung. It's particularly in their Android division. They haven't, you know, separated out Android or Windows Phone device sales. And we know from past figures that Windows Phone generally represents, or Windows Mobile represents, about a third of their device sales. I suspect during the transition from Windows Mobile to Windows Phone, that probably has dropped slightly and Android has become more important. But given the problems they're having with Android, you know, the Motorola and Google thing going on, you do wonder whether HTC might be seeing significant investments going on from Nokia and Microsoft and saying, we can take advantage of that. And if, you know, operators start liking Windows Phone devices, they'll be very happy to have a manufacturer other than Nokia that they can buy devices from. So HTC will actually benefit, I think, more than anything else from Nokia coming into the market, because it's kind of a validation thing almost. So keep a careful eye on HTC, because I think they may well come back with a bit of a bang in the Windows Phone space. But their actual results from Q4, at least, weren't terribly encouraging. And it's, you know, the first time they've recorded a fall in profits and a fall in sales in quite some time. But nonetheless, again, it's one to kind of watch out for.
And certainly it behooves Windows Phone to keep HTC and Nokia going, because that competition in handsets and in technology is going to drive each other higher. And of course, you never know, Samsung might turn around and look at Motorola and Android and all the issues and just go, you know what? We're going to place a slightly bigger bet, and we're going to place a big bind on Windows Phone. So we never know.
Yeah, and we kind of saw that at CES, you know, the Titan 2 and the Lumia 900. And I expect to see more of that kind of thing. Don't make any mistake. I mean, I thought a lot of, you know, power users like HTC devices for good reason. You know, they're often pushing the envelope. Nokia is still going to be the big thing simply because of their scale. And, you know, early suggestions are that they may be taking 50% of the Generation 2 sales. That's looking at numbers from Occasional Gamer, where they've kind of done some stats. I think WM Power User gets the credit for actually putting those together. It's wmpoweruser.com. Go and check it out. But, you know, there is this question of what do the other manufacturers do? And yes, Samsung, it's quite possible. I mean, they have their own issues with, of course, Android and the Google and Motorola thing. But also, you know, they're looking to push their BARDA platform. But given their performance, it doesn't seem unlikely that they might, you know, just keep an interest in Windows Phone, because if it does become established as a third player, Samsung have traditionally been multi-platform and so will probably want to be involved. So I would look for, you know, MWC announcements from Samsung maybe about some of their Generation 2 devices getting wider global availability.
I do have to laugh that there were some reports coming that the UK networks weren't taking the equivalent of the Focus Flash because it looked too much like a Samsung Galaxy Android device. So it's always nice to have just a little bit of differentiation along your range. Speaking of phones, and Rafe, kind of cloud your ears over this bit for we don't talk about leaks just for a second, but how shall we phrase this? It looks like before the end of this quarter, an American AT&T, an American network, will have both of those big handsets from CES, the Titan 2 and the Lumia 900, in stores, possibly even on the same day. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that could be put the cat amongst the pigeons, couldn't it? And the pricing is kind of interesting here. This is all based on hearsay. There's nothing official. But given that it's been talked about a bit in the media, I think we can talk about it on the podcast, you know, in passing. It's $199 for the Titan and $99 for the Lumia 900. If they do that, I think the Lumia 900 could really fly off the shelves. I mean, it's coming out of CES as kind of the product of CES. And for the American market, that's, you know, really good for kind of the promotion, the buzz, the word on the street, whatever you want to call it. And yes, March 18th, you know, that's a bit sooner than some people were expecting, really. It was maybe going to be the back end of March, even April. And if they get that out and get it shipping, I think that's quite good, because they're going to have a certain amount of lead time over any devices that might get announced at MWC or might be coming later in the year, and gives them kind of a clear spot to, you know, have their own chance in the spotlight. And the pricing in particular, I mean, all us Europeans are probably going, well, big deal, it's only a $99 price difference, it's not big in subsidy terms, look at the overall contract price, etc., etc. But the US market does seem to be incredibly driven by that price that you pay up front, in part because You know, the monthly contract price is going to be pretty similar whatever device you end up with in terms of a smartphone. And so that $99 saving compared to most equivalent smartphones, it's not just the Titan tier, we should say, it's all kind of those smartphones that which you regard as high-end tend to be priced at $200 plus. So $99, very competitive. If you think about all the reviews of the Lumia 710 on T-Mobile, which has got the same kind of $49 pricing, $99, depending on how you get it, they've been impressed by that. I would have thought the reaction would be even stronger for a $99 Lumia 900. I have to admit, I'm a bit skeptical. I'll actually be surprised if it comes out at that price. I would have expected it to be $150 or $200 as the Titan 2 seems to be priced. But let's wait and see, and we'll keep a close eye on that. And you're actually going to be in the States around that period, Ewan, so perhaps we'll be able to get a live report from you.
I am, yes. The South by Southwest Interactive runs something like the 11th to the 14th, and then the Music Festival runs the 15th through to the 18th. So, yes, we'll be on the ground and see what happens. What interests me, and it comes back to that pricing one, Rafe, is that the oft-mentioned $49 for the 710 on T-Mobile, I believe, is after a $50 rebate, which you have to write back for. So it's sold for $100, and you get your $50 back. And that means, I suspect, what we might see with the Lumia is $150 and a $50 rebate. So everybody writes $99, but in actual fact, it's $150 in the shops. And there again, you're thinking, you know, we always thought that there was going to be a big subsidy from the handset manufacturers in terms of Nokia and Microsoft in this one. And I suspect that is where they're doing it. Some of the sort of discount, as it were, is in the store. Some of the discount is being done direct from the line of Nokia.
Yeah, that's right, especially when you consider that both Nokia and Microsoft have said they're going to put money towards this kind of thing, this kind of promotion, both in advertising and commission in the shops. And just as with the sort of T-Mobile Lumia 710, you get this rebate thing. I'm sure the same thing will happen. And if you buy direct from the network, that's what you tend to get. But there are third-party retailers who will often take more money off. You know, they'll use some of the commission to discount a little bit more to attract buyers. You know, there's quite a few places now where you can get the 710 for free on a contract, and that would really set the cat amongst the pigeons if you could get a Lumia 900 maybe through a third party retailer for, you know, even less than the kind of the list price.
It's also, as you said there, it could be vital to see what the press reaction is. David, you always have that lovely cynical eye on the reports. The 710 has been getting some great press. I know that Walt Mossberg has basically given it a thumbs up in America. That's sort of like Johnny Carson waving a comedian over. But the 900 seems to have bedazzled the American press, and even more so than the Titan. It seems that America's ready to accept Nokia as a smartphone manufacturer now.
Well, that's what I'm very curious to see what happens. I do think that America has been writing Nokia off for a long time, but wanting them secretly, even if some don't want to admit it, secretly wanting Nokia to come back and be great. But just, I'm interested in how the reaction goes forward this year with Windows Phone in general as well, because up until February 11th last year, when the Nokia deal was announced, Windows Phone was kind of, the press were aware of it, but were just kind of politely acknowledging it. But it's okay, well, that's very nice, Microsoft, but come back when you've got something interesting. But over the last year, there's been more and more chatter about it. And then we had CES with the Titan 2 and the Lumia 900. And as you say, it has bedazzled everyone. Everyone is really interested in it. So and we all know that the tech press can be something of an echo chamber. And I'm just interested to see how those echoes sort of maybe get some positive reinforcement, and more and more people start to get interested in the Windows Phone ecosystem and start talking it up more.
There's also, of course, that Google's going through a rough patch at the moment in Silicon Valley, and everybody's looking over at them going, oh, that's wrong. I don't quite think everybody's ready for the white knight on the horizon, but certainly Apple and Tim Cook have said, oh, there's somebody else mounting up on their horse, who are always here, as if to say, you know, there is something coming over the hill. And I do find it interesting that Apple seems to be giving a Microsoft a little nudge up as well, as if to say, no, No, it's okay. You know, we know Microsoft. It's like Cain and Abel, but we can work together. It's like the Chuckle Brothers. You know, we're not sure about Google over there, but to me, to you, we'll keep happily bouncing the enterprise and the consumer markets between us. Let's move on, though, because there's another manufacturer and a bundle of quick news bits, which we shall... we'll touch on it briefly. Rafe, 60,000 applications. It's a good number, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, we just did this to keep people up to date with our marketplace tracking number. I don't think we need to comment in it in too much detail. I think the only one of interest is that the sort of submission rate is continuing to increase. We're now talking about sort of 3,500 on a weekly basis. And so, you know, pushing on that number towards the 75,000, 100,000 mark that will certainly happen in the first half of this year, the 100,000 mark, and probably quite early on, especially if the rate continues to increase. You know, the usual comments about quality versus quantity, they do need to be borne in mind. I actually tried to come up with a metric to try and, you know, give a better idea of what was a quality application. I did this on the basis of looking at applications that have been rated in the marketplace more than five times. And that was largely on the basis that I reckon if people are going to download an application, that means they think it's interesting enough. If they then rate it, that means, you know, they've interacted with it a bit. Of course, you could maybe cut out the really lowest ones, but on the basis that people are more likely to rate things that they find interesting and maybe used, I thought it was an analog to use. I haven't really found anything statistically significant that I'm, or a methodology that I'm pleased with yet. But that particular number was just over 5,000, so we're going to keep tracking that over time. And, you know, you could say those 5,000 are probably the apps that are most likely to be used by more than just a sort of very small number of people, you know, the decent apps, if you will. You can also look at, you know, the rating star levels. That's more difficult to do because, you know, there's various reasons why an application might be rated. You know, the highest quality ones, there's only a couple of thousand of them, I think, above the sort of 4-star mark. But that doesn't mean the application aren't used. There's a lot of applications that have been downloaded plenty of times with relatively low star ratings. But I'll keep you updated on that. And yes, at the 60,000 number, I think we've just gone over 62,000 as we're recording this podcast. So that number's creeping up all the time.
The other one, of course, David, you probably picked up on this one. It's Bing Maps, so they carry some Nokia branding in there as well. This is probably the first indication of Nokia technology coming into the core operating system and also coming into a core Microsoft service, isn't it?
Yes, this is a consequence of the February 11th deal, as to try and balance out the deal somewhat. Nokia brought in its navigation assets to play, because a few years ago it acquired a company called Navtech, which provides the data that powers Nokia Maps on Symbian devices and Nokia Maps and Nokia Drive on the Lumias. And to my mind, at least on the Symbian version, it makes it the best mobile phone navigation system there is, and the Lumias are only going to come up to that standard. And as part of a deal, yes, we are now going to get Nokia branding on anything that uses Bing Maps. So it's actually not interesting. It's not just going to be Windows phones. It's going to be Blackberries as well. So Nokia just going to be sort of nibbling away and getting more and more mindshare out there with people.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning on this one just briefly, you know, a lot of these maps have already been branded with Navtech in the corner. You know, it's kind of like a copyright symbol almost. And actually you used to get it on Google Maps, and you still do in some countries, although Google have now got their own data sources that they've sort of built up themselves. But one of these sort of really strong assets of Navtech is the accuracy and the completeness of its maps and data. That's obviously more important in some applications than the others. But some people kind of doubt the value of an asset like this. But I think location underlies so much of the modern smartphone services, particularly when you're integrating with the kind of the physical world. And that's something that we've only just begun to see in the smartphone space. I suspect this location asset will become more, not less, valuable to Nokia. And so it's kind of an interesting thing that we're likely to see sort of the branding kind of subconsciously pop up elsewhere. And you wonder what kind of impact that might have, you know, just on people's subconscious. But yes, as David said, this is kind of the flip side of the February 11th deal. You know, we've seen Nokia using Windows Phone. We're now going to see Microsoft, and as they already have been actually using Navtech, it's just going to become a bit more obvious. I think that trend will kind of continue, where we see Nokia start to have more influence on the shape of Windows Phone in terms of where it's going to go. And I'm sure that's going to be about spreading into more markets, so localization into Asian and other countries as well, and also lower cost devices. And Nokia has a lot of expertise there, and also kind of the ability to drive into those markets for distribution chains, retail, and all of that kind of thing. And so it's interesting, a year on almost from February the we're kind of seeing a bit more of the shape of this. You know, the first look is Microsoft completely dominating the partnership, but actually, to be successful, it's going to have to use a lot of the Nokia assets, which are more intangible in one sense than the platform itself, but are probably just as important to the success, because if you don't have the Nokia distribution channels or the ability to drive those devices or the location, other things start falling apart pretty rapidly. So kind of a sign that it's not all one-way traffic, as I think some in the media sometimes seem to think it is.
Speaking of bringing on partners and other things, let's finish up some big news with Chinese phone company ZTE, the UK launch of the Tanya. Now, this is a little handset. I say a little handset. It's a 4.3-inch touchscreen. It's little because it's only got 4 gigs of internal storage, but this is aimed squarely at the, what should I say, the bottom end of the mid-tier or the very high end of the low tier. It's in that interesting definition area. It's going to go on sale in the UK, unlocked direct from ZTE at £250, probably at some point mid to late February. It's going to be available on networks, probably some people like Brightpoint and Virgin Media and Go Mobile are the companies at ZTE have announced that they're working with, at a tariff point of maybe around £10 a month or so, with a small payment for the phone. There's no actual confirmation of those, but essentially this is the first Windows phone that's valid as a pay-as-you-go handset, right? I think that's where this is going, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. I mentioned ZTE and Huawei earlier on, and these are kind of the big changes in the mobile industry, as kind of some of the Chinese manufacturers produce very low cost devices. And there's an obvious comparison here with the HTC Radar and the Lumia 710, which it looks like the ZTE is going to probably undercut both of them in terms of price. It does come at a cost. You know, the 4 gigabytes of memory that it's got on board is less than both those devices, and arguably does make the device a lot less useful. But I think it's kind of the vanguard of something we'll see a lot more of.
And again, you know, if you're talking about distribution, ZTE might not be a name that's familiar to a lot of people in terms of smartphone, but, you know, their numbers are pretty big. I mean, if we take phones, you know, smartphones, dumb phones, things in between, strange things that run Android, ZTE have got quite a number of very interesting Android devices, including the San Francisco and Orange. They're talking about something like 19 million units in Q3 last year, an overall market share and phone market of approaching 5%. I mean, they are a company that has a huge amount of ambition. And to step into the smartphone market with Windows Phone and white labeling on Android, that's exactly how another company started about 7 or 8 years ago, which would be HTC.
And if you think about it, their total shipments are actually outdoing people like HTC and Motorola, even I think almost Sony Ericsson. I'd have to check the exact numbers for the last few quarters. So yes, they've kind of become quite a big force in mobile without anyone realizing it. And a lot of their branding, that, you know, they've been operated devices. So in France, for example, the Tanya is available, I think it's through France Telecom or Orange, as we kind of know them in the UK. And that applies in several other markets as well. And we'll see more of those devices, you know, in the same way that Huawei has had a lot of success in the UK with the Android devices, you know, the San Francisco, for example. I'm sure we'll see more of that kind of pattern, because obviously it gives operators a chance to put their brand front and center and maybe do some interesting things with the marketing and the pricing and all of those. But really, the big thing is the pricing. You know, they are able to do it for less. You know, it's labor costs and all those kind of usual things. It'll be interesting. We are going to try and get a ZTE Tanya in for review to kind of look at the quality and how much of a trade-off it is. And of course, there is a large element of fashion. You know, people want a certain brand of phone, or they want it to look a certain way. But, you know, watch these companies, because they are going to change the mobile marketplace in the next few years. You know, just as HTC came in from absolutely nothing, is now one of the big players, so too will these companies come in and make things you know, tough for the traditional big boys.
And ZTE also have the approach that they're not favouring one over another thing. It's like, oh, we can build a phone, we can put it in a box, we can put whatever we like in the box. Some of our phones have Android, some of our phones have Windows phones. I'm pretty sure if we go over to China, there will be some of them running something that looks almost but isn't quite iOS for the Chinese market. They'll have strange Linux variants. They probably, if you ask them nicely, they'll put Sava JE on one as well, if you can remember that one. David, what do you reckon? This is almost an off-the-shelf phone where you decide the components yourself.
Well, I wish it was, actually, because to me, I'm going to put my geek hat on here, and like we always have this complaint about Windows Phone, but the storage is fixed, and there's no USB mass storage, blah, 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 blah. People might be sick of hearing us say it, but that's only got 4 gigabytes, which is okay for a little bit of music, and it's okay for podcasts, but it's a shame that Windows Phone does not support putting in an expandable memory card to complement the storage, because, yeah, I agree, having 4 gigabyte of storage, etc., is appropriate for having it as a pay-as-you-go level phone, and it's important for Windows Phone to get down to that level, just for the volume of sales. But it may work against them that some people may get frustrated and think, oh well, I paid that money for this phone and it looks nice, but I'm frustrated, but I can't get all my music on it. I think the 4 gigs is going to. I mean, I can just about work with 8 gigabytes, but I think 4 gigabytes would not be enough. I also think it's interesting that ZTE are getting into Windows Phone and space and trying it out in addition to Android, because I think that if you can read between the lines of a lot of expert comments, I think people are. I think we're maybe getting a little bored of Android and. It's not seeing anything inspiring there, and that's not to have a go at Android. I really like Android, but it is starting to, even with Ice Cream Sandwich, it is kind of feeling old, whereas Windows Phone is really new, and I think they're maybe just starting to have a little bit of the Xbox effect, where like people are looking beyond the Microsoft brand and actually seeing it on its own merit.
We will keep an eye on that one, and you know, I think it's only fair in the times, especially with so much fluidity going on in the mobile market, the companies do, you know, hedge their bets, and the only way to know how to put an operating system is to take it all the way through the process. And if you take it all through the process, you might as well just sell it at the end. I think the only time that you wouldn't do that is if you wanted to have a very clear message of we are doing this. So of course Nokia is doing the latter, ZTE and HTC doing the former, and Samsung kind of just doing the experimental bit as well. But Windows Phone continues to place with all its partners whatever velocity and whatever acceleration they feel they need. That includes the third-party developers. So to close off the podcast, as usual, our final, what have the team been using this week in terms of applications? David, let's turn to you first. What's been on the handset?
An alternative podcast manager. It's if people have heard of GPodder, which started life as a Linux desktop podcatcher client. It branched out, and the developers created GPodder.net, I believe. And it's actually a website where you can add your subscriptions, and any GPodder client that you're using, which is on multiple platforms, you can just put in your login details, and it will actually pull your podcast subscriptions from the cloud. And there is now a Windows Phone version of this, which is paid for, but there is a trial version, and I'm going to be testing this out in the coming weeks just to see how well it stacks up against Zune Desktop.
There we go. We'll hopefully see a report on that back on the website, www.allaboutwindowsphone.com, where you can leave your comments on David's thoughts on the podcast application, and of course anything we write about as well. Rafe, what have you been using this week?
I've been using a free game, it's Word Mix, and this is kind of another in the puzzle word game genre, which I'm quite fond of. In this particular case, what you have to do is you're given a kind of a row of letters, and you need to make up as many words as you can from those letters. So, you know, one of those classic word games. It's nicely done, and you actually see kind of the blanks up above the screen, and as you type in words, you see them fill up and you progress through various levels and point scoring. So if you're a fan of those kind of games, I can recommend it. But just to sort of talk about Word Mix Live, which is kind of in beta testing at the moment, I've actually been using the beta version of this. It's available in the marketplace. Basically, if you download Word Mix, you'll get offered an opportunity to try the beta, and it's exactly the same game, but it's playing with everyone online at the same time, and so everyone has the same row of letters, and you see other people getting the words, and you can see a circle goes around the word when someone's guessed it, and it's kind of an added competitive element, and you score points by being the first to get one particular word, and obviously the longer the word, the more points you get. So kind of a multiplayer online game version of this classic word puzzle, but even in kind of the standalone version, I thought it was well put together. You know, the graphics are attractive. It's nicely done. And so if you're a fan of that kind of game, recommended download from me.
There we go. I've been keeping half an eye on an application called UK Snow, which tells you how many times and where in the UK someone on Twitter has used the hashtag UK Snow followed by their postcode in a vain attempt that we might actually have some weather that's not wind and rain and cold. But nothing has actually popped up. In actual fact, in terms of real applications, Wave, which is an RSS reader, reviewed it just before the weekend up on the website. It's a sort of halfway house between a full RSS reader and something like Pulse or Flipboard. Yes, you do have the pre-populated categories that are there when you open it, but you can also create your own categories, add in RSS feeds, or just simply search on topics, and it uses Google Feed Search to find the best RSS feeds for you. So there's a nice mix of, oh, just show me tech news, or show me things about things that I'm interested in, right all the way up to, I'm going to give you a list of RSS XML feeds and work it out for you. I love the flexibility that the application has, and it also makes everything really nice and metro-y as well. It's not Google Reader on the desktop, but in terms of a mobile application to check a couple of topics when I'm out and about, it's a good second string RSS catcher. Probably be a better word than a reader. I think that's us there. I've no idea what Steve is using this week. Hopefully he's using one of those very, very expensive medical dictionaries that you can get for £125 in the Windows Marketplace, because I think he still has your bit Windows Phone credit card login, Rafe, yes?
Uh-oh.
So on that lovely expenses note, Steve will be joining us next week. Hopefully you'll be joining us as well. www.allaboutwindowsphone.com. It's you and Spence here saying goodbye, and also saying goodbye to Rafe Blanford.
Goodbye, everybody, and you don't need to put in the www bit of the domain.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely sure.
David, have you checked that?
I have, he's right.
Okay, you can just say goodbye then, your job is now done.
Goodbye, my job is now done.
And we'll catch you all on the Insight Podcast next week. Thanks for listening, and ta-ra for now.